You're listening to the Intestinal Fortitude Radio Network. Catch up on all our shows, news, and more at www.theintestinalfortitude.com.
Welcome back to the Cemetery Gates podcast number 37.
Damn, we're getting up there in numbers.
We are, sir. That's right, man. I think it's number 37. It's kind of, I was looking at that number and I was like, what the hell's going on around here?
Well, I'll be.
Well, we got a
good number, I guess.
We got a lot of
consistency,
you and I. So, how's everything going, my friend?
Good. Good. Tired on our late start here. That's all good, though.
Yes. Well, thank you for being a trooper, Mr. Xander Kane. You're the best.
No problem. Here's the fun part about that. Like, I can literally wait till like the last second to watch these movies now. So, there's the upside, man.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I'm able to do that as well. My current work schedule allows me to watch movies at my desk as well. But I just watched the two movies tonight that we picked, which is great.
You know, it's funny. So normally we'll like text each other. We won't talk much about movies before we do the show, but every once in a while we'll just send each other a text while we're watching one of them, and that didn't happen today, so I was surprised that I didn't get any texts. But if you watch them today, then that makes total sense.
Yeah, it was great, man. How have you been, my friend? How's everything going? You did a big move there?
We've been good. I went to Asheville for a little while. Spent some time with the Biltmore, you know. That was nice.
Yeah.
The house is crazy big. It's crazy to think someone fucking lived in there. Like, that was their home. It's absolutely obnoxious, but really cool. But, like, you have all these moments, you know, like, now you're like, goddamn rich people and all their shit. Like, you know, you'd be glad to know that people have been saying that since fucking forever, because you walk on the Biltmore and you're just like, goddamn rich people. So,
rich motherfuckers.
Yeah.
So,
the coolest thing we did over there was actually the fucking Sierra Nevada Brewery is just outside of Asheville. And that thing is like the fucking crazy, man. It's like way out in the middle of nowhere. They have an amphitheater in the back. They made like a stone driveway and these giant copper or giant steel gates with copper inlays, and just crazy. They have a garden, they have bocce ball courts, there's hiking trails like around the property. It was nuts, but it was awesome. We were supposed to leave Asheville at like 2 o'clock and wound up staying at the brewery till like 7 PM. So oops.
You had to let the buzz wear off. You can't hit the road, man.
Yeah. And it had killer food. The food was so fucking good there. Goddamn.
Lucky man, you.
Nonetheless, I made it back here in one piece. And I did get to go to a pinball museum, so that was cool, too.
Did you move?
No, I didn't move.
I thought you said you moved. Oh, yeah.
No,
you
didn't
move. I thought you were like, you're not moving nowhere.
Nowhere. I don't know. I might move to Asheville. Well, fuck. The place is awesome.
No, they have fucking do it, man. So, yeah, I'm hoping to somehow, some way get out to you with me and a few of my friends to the Days of the Dead convention in 2018 if it happens.
Hopefully. I'll be there.
You will.
Next weekend I'll be at the Days of the Dead in Indianapolis, so.
You son of a bitch.
Yep. I'll fly out there next Thursday. Gonna spend the day on the lake Thursday before I go do the convention stuff on Friday, though.
The
you
life.
Know, it's a tough life.
It's a tough life you live with no kids, Mr. Xander Kane.
Yep. Yeah, man. Miserable, I tell you. What was it the old Greg Moe used to say? Good old Greg Roberts. What's this? Something about, like, what is he here every Saturday morning? And he's like, silence. You know, because, you know, I'm just got my kids running around. Me too. Okay,
We had Vanessa Alexandra, my co-host on Android Vision, tell us that she is coming to Days of the Dead convention. So that's all I can say. So we're gonna do something live on the show right now, okay? So my daughter, just gotta let you know, man, and this is horror related, so we can do this, right? We're gonna do this live. A little impromptu.
Do whatever you want.
Just walked in the door from watching Gwar. And she has a couple friends with them, so I'm taking the recording, and it's going to get a little loud here.
Because of the excitement, I know.
Because the excitement.
Giddy children and Gwar.
Oh, hey, look at you guys. Everybody's
are
green.
Covered in blood? Or green?
Are you covered? Why are you guys green?
Gwar for the first time.
Nice. How did you enjoy it?
I don't even know how to explain that. That was just
did you get anybody's heads get cut off?
Oh, yeah. There was a couple battles.
It was like a hardcore kid that got his head cut off.
Yeah,
he had gloves and stuff.
And
then he had, like, the crew cut to the side.
Did they kill any politicians?
No.
No politicians? Staying away from that?
Pookie the dog, though.
Pookie the dog?
Yeah. Pamela with the dog name.
All right. You guys look awesome. Get pictures. Well, I think it was probably awesome and refreshing because they went to Vans Warped Tour, and it was a nice scorching 109 over here, Mr. Xander Kane.
Whew. Yeah, you guys are getting beat down with some fucking sun right now.
Yeah,
noise.
So I think getting sprayed down by some guar jizz and blood, nice and cold, but... But she had a couple friends that had never seen Gwar before, which is great. And I think the really cool thing about it is my wife was pregnant with my daughter about 8 months, and I took my wife to see Gwar for the first time. So it's kind of a full circle thing, I guess.
Right on. Like, I remember when I went to my first Gwar show.
So
back
to what we were talking about. Co-host on Android Vision, Vanessa Alexandra, said, she's going to hitch a ride with me to Days of the Dead convention.
Hitch a ride? It's a long fucking drive.
Yeah, well, you know, we're going to take the bus, you know, week-long trip.
Shit. Well, I'll be damned.
No, won't be a bus. But got to save up some money, see how this all works.
Yeah. Well, I hope you guys can make it. I'll be at the Atlanta one, and they just booked a new city in Charlotte. So they'll be in Charlotte in May of next year.
Beautiful.
And then they'll be in Chicago in November of this year. So, which I hope to be at all those. So.
Lucky man you. Hey, quick question. Did you see Alien Covenant?
Nope.
You did not? Okay. All right. Do you plan on seeing it?
I do. But it wasn't a theater one for me to go see. Well,
okay.
I wasn't really excited about it to begin with, so.
Yeah. I saw it. I enjoyed it. I liked it. Didn't stick with me as much as Prometheus did, which is funny because Prometheus gets shit on a lot, which I don't know why, but I felt like this was a far superior film. So there you go. So, I don't know. What else have you been watching, sir? Anything fun on TV?
I've been watching a lot of foreign stuff, actually. I watched a Spanish film called Ataúd Blanco, which is White Coffin. That one was pretty rad. Watched a Russian film called Ritual. That was like this weird farm, like old country town, does this weird culty ritual that had some really fucking awesome, some really great visuals in it, some really great gore. Like the director clearly had a pretty good eye, at times had a pretty great eye of like framing up a shot and making it look real like crazy. So I was a pretty big fan of that one, but I don't know if it's a part of a series. I don't think it is. I think it's just called Three, The Ritual. So that one was a pretty rad little Russian flick. Watched one called Sweet Home. That was about Spain. It was about a lady who knew of an apartment building or something that was about to be condemned, and for whatever reasons, she knew that it was vacant, so she took her boyfriend there to like have his birthday party, but then like these crazy fuckers come in and start doing illegal shit, and they find out they're in there, so basically it becomes like a cat and mouse game of running from these crazy ass people. So, but that one was cool too. So just been watching some foreign stuff.
So you haven't gone to the movies or anything, like watched like the latest like Mummy movie or anything like that?
The last like new movie I saw was The Void, and that wasn't even in the theater. So,
which is coming to Netflix this July, by the way. So anybody out there wants to see the movie, it's going to be fucking great. Sometimes Netflix likes to cut shit up, but I don't think they will on this one. So I think The Void, you know, if anybody wants to see that on Netflix, it's a great movie. That movie is actually the last movie that I felt that like kind of resonated with me, like where I'll be sitting there and I'll just be daydreaming and I'll start thinking about The Void. So it takes a lot for a movie to do that for me, which is I'm still contemplating that motherfucker and I'm going to have to watch it again. I keep on telling my daughter, you need to watch The Void, but for some reason space like gives her anxiety attacks. So
maybe not give your daughter an anxiety attack, but hey, I'm no professional.
Neither am I. And we claim to be professional podcasters or something.
No. We're pretty loose with the things here.
Yeah. What else have I been up to? Went and saw Wednesday 13 last night, which is really cool.
Okay, was that – I know they were doing an acoustic thing. Was it the acoustic or full-blown?
It was full-blown. There was no acoustics.
Okay. Yeah, there was a couple acoustics. I was looking at the tour because they came to Atlanta, and Atlanta was an acoustic show. And I was like, I'd rather see the whole – I'm sure it was still great, but I would rather have seen the whole thing, the whole deal.
You know, I'd never seen Wednesday 13 before, and we went and checked it out. It was me, my daughter, and then again my co-host from the other show, Vanessa, and it was cool, man. Like I'd never, like I said, seen him before. I'm familiar with a lot of his music. I don't go too crazy deep with him. But it was quite theatrical, and I really appreciated the horror atmosphere around it. And he is definitely a theatrical dude. And we stayed behind to meet them, and he was really nice. And we met another band, Gabriel and the Apocalypse, I believe. Very interesting. Yeah, there's a chick that sings. They're kind of like a kind of a crazy synthy metal rock band, and pretty good, really nice, really crazy. The bass player was awesome. She got a nice handful of my ass, which is really funny.
Intentionally?
Yeah, I took a picture with her, and she like pulled my braid around my throat and was choking me with it. I'm sure maybe you saw that picture or not. But
no, maybe.
It was really cool, man. So, yeah, Gabriel and the Apocalypse, that's who the band was. So go check those bands. Gabriel and the Apocalypse is great. And
maybe
Wednesday
you should throw
13.
That on the old Spotify, Cemetery Gates Spotify playlist.
I will, and I've been I've been adding songs to that. So if anybody out there who does Spotify, check out my profile. You can follow me, ABIC, as in Apple, as in boy, and then IC, and look for me on the Spotify, and you could look at our Cemetery Gates podcast playlist, which is really cool. Funny story about that. I was just adding, you know, because I know both of us add shit on there, and I added the Taxi Driver theme where he's, you know, just like the nice, chill taxi driver music, and I'm driving home with my twins. And I see one of my twins with his eyes closed in the back seat, his head back. And I said, "What are you doing?" He's, "Oh, this music relaxes me." And I'm like, "All right, don't change it. I'm in the zone." And I'm almost like, "All right, man, I won't change it." Crazy kid, you. So it's fucking nuts, dude. So yeah, there you have it. It was fucking funny, dude. So also, you guys don't forget to tune in this Saturday to us. Android Vision via the intestinalfortitude.com, and we're going to be watching a couple of really cool movies, and I think you guys are going to really be happy with the final product with our new male girl and I, Android Virus. It'll be fun.
Shall.
So let's get to the first
meat
movie.
Potatoes here.
Yeah, let's get to the meat and potatoes. I feel you fading on me, my friend. Just drink a cup of coffee. I know it's past midnight out there, and I know you got to work in the morning. But we're gonna review your movie first. Your pick.
What? Fine.
That's right, man. What's his name? Fred Ward, right?
Good old Fred Ward, little Julianne Moore, and
that's right, Fred Moore, Julianne Ward, and that is going to be. Cast a Deadly Spell. Here's the trailer.
From the producer of Aliens and Terminator 2, L.A. in 1948.
How is it?
Bad.
It's always bad.
Something's coming. Something ugly.
Everyone wanted power.
I'll be in my hands by Thursday. I'm attending a conference, and this volume is the key to my presentation.
A conference that starts at midnight?
Everyone wanted control.
It's in the book. All right here. Promise, power,
and the price.
What price?
You're going to be dead, Lovecraft. And I'm going to be on top of the world. That should settle things once and for all about who was smart and who was a chump.
And everyone used magic. Black magic.
The Necronomicon. Must be some book.
Except Detective Lovecraft.
Damn it, Phil. Everybody's got a compromise.
That's what I keep hearing.
And what makes you so special?
He's the right guy.
I'm serious.
And why are you wearing that hat?
But it's the wrong time.
Someone's throwing lesser demons at you. You don't even carry a rabbit's foot.
I can handle it.
Well, I'm not worried about you, Phil. I'm worried about the people who might get in the way.
He's got 48 hours to save the world. Or what's left of it.
Phil, nothing in life's as funny as you think.
Fred Ward.
My collar may be a little frayed. Maybe I need a shoe shine. Nobody's got a mortgage on my soul. I own it. Free. And clear.
Cast a Deadly Spell.
The critics are mesmerized about Cast a Deadly Spell. Imagine Who Framed Roger Rabbit with witches and zombies instead of tunes, and you've got a great way to spend an evening.
Well, I concur. Yeah, yeah. So,
what do we got? 1991's Cast a Deadly Spell, right?
Yeah. This was, I believe, an HBO film. So you know how HBO used to make their own movies back in the day. And this is basically a kind of, imagine kind of a Dick Tracy vibe, but it's mixed in with like a Lovecraftian Cthulhu universe.
Right.
So Fred Ward plays a detective who, in this like kind of magical world where people use magic and there's all these like weird creatures and shit like roaming around. I don't really know, but he decides that he doesn't use magic because he feels like there's a for personal reasons he doesn't use magic to do any of his cases. When all the other guys like around, all the other private investigators do that, and he gets wrapped up in a case and hired by a guy, and basically they're looking for the, what we later find out, they're basically looking for the Necronomicon.
Yeah.
And they're trying to raise, someone's trying to, you know, raise this great creature to come over and take over the world. And so he just, you know, he just kind of stumbles his way through. Like, he's not, I don't know, like Fred Ward plays this guy, like, pretty awesome. Like, he's just kind of a, he plays it very straight. Like, he's not, like, trying to be cheesy, but he is, like, the character in general is just kind of cheesy with his, he's got a few, like, one-liners here and there, but he doesn't really blink an eye at, like, odd situations. So, like, a weird, like, there's a scene where a gargoyle creature just, like, pops out through the window and comes jumping through, and he doesn't even, like, skip a beat to start talking shit to this gargoyle that's about to, you know, kill this person's room. He just plays it so straight, and he's perfect for the character.
He's great, man.
Yeah, and you got a Julianne Moore's in this as well, who plays one of the female leads in the film.
And then the guy that hires him is David Warner, the guy who got his head cut off in the original Omen movie with the glass. And I mean, that guy's in hundreds of movies. I mean,
there's a bunch of people in here that you'd recognize. Just
Clancy
like,
Brown,
that guy from the. Yeah, Clancy Brown's been in a million movies.
Mr. Krabs! So, if anybody doesn't know Clancy, Mr. Krabs, and he's the original bad guy in the Highlander movie. Is it the Kurgan? He's great.
Yeah, so the cool thing about this movie is that, you know, it was on HBO, and it was from, like you heard in the trailer, people involved with Alien and whatnot, and so they got plenty of money to go into this thing. So, like, the actual creatures that pop up in here, they look great. Like, they have these little critters-looking guys with wings.
Like, yeah, those, that, like, I think, and, you know, it was funny in the beginning. Like, I guess he was kind of talking to his buddy or something, and he's all, what's wrong with the car? And he's like, gremlins. And I was like, and he's like, and then so you open the door, and they're like, yeah, those are gremlins. I mean, not the gremlins from the Joe Dante movie, but, I mean, gremlins nonetheless, you know. And so I was like, wow, those are little fucking gremlins. That was really funny, man. I mean, I really liked how they used zombies as cheap labor in the movie too, which is really fucking funny.
Yeah, and slightly racist, right? Because he's like he's like, we get them from the West Indies for, you know, pack them six to a car or whatever.
Yeah.
Jesus. But the movie, like, if you really like detective, like, gumshoe type movies and a little bit of like weird fantasy science fiction stuff, this movie's probably right up your alley. Like, there's some times that it kind of drags. There's some times that it kind of slows down a bit on you. It's not like a fast paced thing. Like, he's doing like, he's filling out the detective work throughout the movie, so there's definitely some spots that are just like, just him figuring out what's going on.
Yeah, and if you're into that like detective noir type of medium, I guess you could say, then you got it in this. And that's not really, those movies aren't very fast paced. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, like those movies usually start out with the detective sitting in his office at night with blinds and smoke in the room, and he's like, so a dame came into my office, see, you know, like, so I mean, that's what you get with this movie. And you know, but I loved his name. Do you remember his
name? It was Harry Philip Lovecraft. H.P. Lovecraft. Yeah, but it's not a it's not a hard horror film by any means. It's very...
No.
Like, it definitely has some horror elements to it, and I see the argument for calling it horror, and I can, just because, like, there are some pretty great, like, death scenes, and there's some pretty good gore in it.
Yeah.
So it kind of has, you know, but it does it, I don't know, it with everything around it, it's hard to, like, be, you're not scared of anything. It's just kind of a gory, goofy fantasy film.
Yeah, I think I want to say it's an alternate reality completely, obviously, and everybody's into some type of magic but him, even like the bad guy mafiosos, which is really funny. I love the dollar bill death, by the way. That was really fucking cool.
Yeah, that one was great.
Yeah. It's like, all I can tell you is if any of you guys have ever been to Chuck E. Cheese and you put your kid in the machine, the windmill machine, and all the paper money flies around and they have to catch as much as they can, like, think about that, but like on steroids. The dollar bills go around this guy and they just like tear him apart. So that was really cool. I really enjoyed that, man. Yeah, man, I mean, a lot of actors in this. Imagine Who Framed Roger Rabbit with witches and zombies instead of Toons, USA Today. What I really liked about the movie was this is early on in HBO's, I don't want to say too early on, maybe half a decade into it, into producing movies. So it definitely has that cinematography, grainy, atmospheric feel that I want to say that the early Tales from the Crypt TV show had. I really got that feeling from watching this. You know what I mean? So it could have even just been a long ass Tales from the Crypt, you know, episode.
It did kind of have that vibe for sure. But I knew about this movie for a while, and I've always wanted to watch it, and it popped up on Amazon Prime. If you have Amazon Instant Video, it's free if you're a Prime member, so you can watch it on there. But, you know, HBO has, like, there's a lot of, like, little hidden gems in some of the stuff that they made in that era when they first started making movies, because, like, this one's much, much later than this one, but The Night Flyer, Stephen King's The Night Flyer,
yeah.
Is it's from, like, 96, 97, and that's an HBO film, and I love that one. So it was like I kind of wanted to dig into some of those earlier ones, and this was definitely one that was on my radar. I was happy to see it was readily available for me to watch. And I liked it a lot. I thought it was just kind of a fun, different type of movie, you know. But I could definitely see, like, if you're not into that, the whole gumshoe who's done it thing, you'd be like, ah, this movie's fucking weird and not good. But
I felt it was super fun, though, man. I mean, it's very lighthearted. It's not a hard, like, fucking movie to watch where you're just like, this is a tough one to watch. What do we like, a Blue Omega or Naked Massacre? You know, those are like a couple of the toughest movies that I've sat through personally on this podcast. Because those are some heavy fucking movies, man. This is very light, a very light, fun movie. I mean, even if it's an R rating, I mean, like, a little kid could watch this. You know, I mean, there's not crazy sex or, you know, different things like that.
No, not at all.
I mean, it's just weird fantasy movie.
Love to have seen Fred Ward play this character again. I think that would have been awesome.
Yeah, so I guess there was a sequel to this movie, and Fred Ward didn't play the character again, and they gave it to Dennis Hopper. So I don't, which is kind of weird. I love Fred Ward. He was made for like that weird detective type of. He's fucking great, dude.
Yeah, and he's, you know, I love him in Tremors. He's awesome in Tremors, so. But
I loved
I
him in,
rated, huh?
Yeah, well, I was going to say I loved him in, what was another one that he was in that I really liked? And a lot of people hate this. I like The Crow 3. A lot of people hate The Crow 3, but I really like The Crow 3.
Is that the one with Edward Furlong?
No, that's blasphemy, sir. We don't talk about that one on this show. But Crow 3 was pretty cool. But yeah, let's rate this motherfucker, man. What'd you give it?
I like it a lot, and with its charm and everything, I think I would still, I feel pretty okay giving it a 3.5 for me. There's just a lot of charm to it. I like it. So that's, I'll stick behind it 3.5 with it for sure.
I was going to give it a 3, man, but I think you moved me to the 3.5 just because fucking Fred Ward is great in it, man.
He really is. And if it's not him, like, I don't think it's, I don't think it's, if you put anybody else in that role, I really genuinely don't think it's as good. Like, he was made for that fucking role, and just it all works perfectly.
He's like a good fucking, like a Dick Tracy type of role, but cooler.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll watch the Dennis Hopper one, which, what's that called? Witch Hunt or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll try to see if I can locate that one. I think it was an HBO one too, but it's not streaming or anything. But I'll check it out at some point. But who knows? Maybe it's just as good.
It's another HBO one, which is really weird. This one's directed by Paul Schrader, the second one, but we won't even get into that. You know, we could possibly, talk about that one another time. If we can find it, we'll watch it. We'll rate it. I think it would be a really good follow-up to this one. But I enjoyed the shit out of it, man, and I was going to give it a 3, but I'll go with you to the 3.5, dude. Check this movie, guys, out. It's really cool, man. Cast a Deadly Spell from 1991. Find it on Amazon Prime streaming for free. It's just a cool little movie, man. Like a nice Sunday afternoon film.
Rainy
you know,
day
maybe.
Film for sure.
Yeah, it's
definitely kind of a forgotten film, man. Like, I don't know of anybody that's talked about that movie on the podcast. Not that I've listened to 1.5 million podcasts, but like, it's not one that ever comes up in conversation. And I think
it's real.
Be talked about.
It's real light, like a Fresca and a street taco. It's
there ain't Fresca's garbage.
Yeah.
Be a man. Right. Drink a LaCroix.
You're out. I'm totally out of my league. I could never hang out with you. I'm like, where's the water fountain? That would be me. All right, guys. So there you have it, man. I hope you enjoyed that that review. On to the next film that I couldn't find a trailer for. I could only find the worst of clips that were like 5 to 10 minutes long. So we're not going to play a 5-minute clip. But what we are going to play, because this is my idea, man. This is what I wanted to do. I wanted to do the Summer of Heavy Metal with Android Virus and Xander Kane here on the Cemetery Gates podcast. So what I'm going to be doing for the next three shows for this month and next month and the summer the month of August is I'm going to be picking some heavy metal horror movies, which Xander Kane promptly told me they all fucking suck. So
most of them do.
Most of them do, and I will concur with a majority of them that I have seen. They really do fucking suck. Although I did kind of like Rocktober Blood, but I have not seen Black Roses yet. But either way, that might
be
down the road.
That's exception to the rule. Black
is
Roses
it?
Is the almighty. All hail Damien.
I don't even know because I've never seen it. That's right. But boy, I started the summer of heavy metal off, horror heavy metal off with a bang with 1987's Rock and Roll Nightmare. Now, I don't have a trailer, but we're going to listen to about a minute of the end song. So,
Thor.
Yeah! But that could play in the background as we talk a little bit lightly.
Word.
All right, guys. All right, so this is my pick. That's right, guys. My pick for my heavy metal summer is Rock and Roll Nightmare, 1987, starring John Michael Thor. And if you guys don't know who John Michael Thor is, he's a bodybuilding champion, actor, songwriter, screenwriter, historian, vocalist, and musician. That's right. He's all these things. And he actually seen that song as well.
So,
yeah, he's got a documentary on Netflix. Do tell.
I Am Thor, I think is what it's called. It's great. It's basically, chronicling his life and how he's still trying to go out there and perform even in his old age, which is kind of sad at times, but also kind of awesome. So it's pretty great. So if you like remotely find interest in this movie or him in general, I highly recommend it. It's a great watch.
Well, Rock and Roll Nightmare, man, the tagline of this movie, when the band starts to rock, heads start to roll. That's right, man. This movie's also known as The Edge of Hell. It's a direct-to-video movie, and it's from Canada. And it's directed by John Fasano, who I don't even know what he did before. But it does star John Michael Thor, who did the film soundtrack. And I believe he wrote the movie as well.
Mm-hmm.
And really, pretty much not too much of an original plot. You kind of got a isolated farmhouse in the middle of nowhere, and the band Triton—that's their name, Triton. They want to go record some music out there, so they got the whole band, and the band's got not only they got the band, they got their chicks with them, Xander Kane. They've
right,
got their
yeah.
girls with them, because
yeah,
every band in the 80s got to have their chicks with them, dude. It's. You know,
the two of them are married, so
yeah, well, two of them are married, and
it's hilarious at the beginning. Like, they all get to the farmhouse, and he's like, I just need you guys locked up in here so I can get 10 more minutes of good music out of you for the album. Like, 10 more minutes,
and John Michael Thor towers. Is oversized, more sized than everybody, and his hair is a little bit more bleached than everybody else's. So he really stands out on screen opposed to everybody else. Which is really funny. But kind of in the beginning of the movie, you get a little bit of a backstory where there's a family in the house, and they get slaughtered by an unseen force, which is like, okay. That's cool, whatever. But then the band goes up there. So after a day of making music and making love, the band is starting to break up one by one. You know what I mean?
There is a reference to Alice Cooper and somebody else recording in the studio as the guy's like trying to explain to him like what happened with. He was trying to get the keys from him. He's like, well, you need to know that Alice Cooper and so-and-so was recorded, blah, blah, blah. So apparently they allude to the idea that something happened to like previous bands that have recorded there. So
yeah.
Well,
whatever evil is kind of, let me just start it off as you get a nice sequence at the beginning of the movie of a nice like kind of 70s van driving through Canada, which lasts a little too long for my taste. But which was really funny, and apparently the whole band and their equipment are in this van. So like, okay, but they all unload the van with their chicks, and there's something watching from the woods. And John Michael and Thor, aka whatever his name is in the movie, he feels it, man. He sees it, you know. And they have some pretty cool ambient music in it, and some weird, I guess cinematography of the sky, which you could tell there's like a foreboding evil in the atmosphere somewhere around the house. Well, you know, throughout the movie, whatever unseen evil force kind of starts possessing the people, AKA kind of like, you know, demons, you know, from you know, another that could be considered a heavy metal horror movie, Xander Kane, by the way, but just because of the soundtrack alone. All, let me digress though. So like, everybody's kind of getting, you know, possessed, kind of like that movie Demons, but then they kind of revert back to their human forms, but they kind of say evil things. and do evil things. And everybody in the movie, they had this one rubber glove that they made, you know, that will kind of creep around the corner of a wall or go through somebody's chest or something like yeah. that. That is like, okay, you know, there's a demon, but they all probably wore the same rubber glove, you know, like,
yeah,
which, which is really funny. But lots of fucking in this movie. These couples love to fuck.
Yeah, there's a good 8 minutes or so of just going through each couple having sex, and it gets really confusing when Thor takes a shower with his lady because you don't really know which one of them is the girl because they both have, like, long hair, and then, like, you see her boobs, and then Thor's got these giant pecs that look like tits. Like, wait a minute, which one?
His pecs, let me tell you, his pecs aren't, I mean, yes, I know he's a bodybuilder, but his pecs look like tits.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a very confusing scene. Like, what is happening?
So,
I don't know.
But there's some sexy lovemaking in this film because that's what they did in the 80s. That's what heavy metal heads did. They had their chicks, they had their beer, they had their weed, and they had their heavy metal, and that's all they needed, man. Just that was, and life was good. Life was complete. And that's what it was for these guys, man. Everybody kind of gets taken to the fodder one by one, and Thor has a nice, they gave his lovemaking scene a little bit more of the glitter than they did the rest, you know. The other ones were just in the bed, but he had the special lovemaking scene in the shower. I think he wrote that in for himself.
I want to take a shower with my co-star.
I mean, shower sex is, like, not, in my opinion, like, I mean, I think maybe kissing your chick and caressing her in the shower is good, but shower sex is kind of lame, in my opinion. I don't know.
So you would prefer to use it as foreplay to go somewhere else?
Yes, yes. Use the shower as foreplay. You know, have fun, but shower sex, it's like, it's like sex in a lake.
You're like, one of us could slip and fall and break our neck, and it's going to be a terrible story.
At my age, someone's going to slip and fall and break their hip, Xander Kane. Like, that's gonna hurt for a while. Or it's just slip and fall.
So you're going to be out of commission for a bit.
It's like, sorry, babe. It's sideways sex for the next 2 months. You know, it's like, I'm sorry. So, just, we could look at the wall or the TV while we do it. I mean, it's your choice. So anyways, I digress. Okay. So back to the damn review. So, we kind of get up to the end where all has been revealed. All the friends are gone. And, John Michael Thor, he isn't who he appears to be all along, man. He's an angel of, what do they say?
Interceptor.
Yeah, Interceptor. He's I've been waiting for you all along. But, you know, like he Triton versus the devil himself. You know, he holds the key, man. Like he's a fucking angel, man. He entrapped this demon there, man. We get the fucking swerve and we get the best fight scene known in cinematic history. Where I was watching it with my kids, and they're like, why are they throwing rubber dinosaurs at him, and why is he catching them? I said, it's pretty accurate for this scene. And some of the best looking outfit ever, studded underwear.
What angel wears that?
My angel wears that. No, I'm just kidding. So there you go. Studded underwear. And it is just fucking horrendous film. And I gave it a 2 out of 5. So there you go.
Nice. And 2?
Yeah.
I would. I thought you would give it a little higher than that.
No.
It is fun. It is fun at times. But like the 10-minute long of just stupid sex scenes and don't know. There's some appeal to its silliness. The music actually is pretty great. I'm not gonna lie.
Yes.
I'm digging on the music. Even though the one song, the "Live It Up" or whatever, sounds like Kiss straight up ripped it off the whole riff. Because it's like "Live It Up," and then there's that Kiss song "Lick It Up." I don't know.
Oh yeah.
Which I believe this was out before that particular Kiss album. But anyways, it's that era of music, and it's fun, I think. But the movie as a whole is not all that great. I would give it a 2.5. I would bump it up just a tad more than you.
Yeah.
I think it's one, as far as the rock and roll metal horror goes, I think it's a middle of the road one. So a 2.5, I'm good with giving that one.
Oh, look at you.
But,
Thank you, sir.
There is a sequel.
Yes.
It came out in 2005.
Yeah, what was that called?
Just called Intercessor. Intercessor.
Ooh.
Yep. That's it.
Well,
I say it that way. Yeah.
Intercessor.
So, not
that great, but, you know, hey, it's good enough to start off my summer of heavy
metal.
It's
not a bad one to start off with. We shouldn't start off with Hard Rock Zombies, so.
We still got the summer to go.
Yeah, I didn't want to team up. I didn't want to do two rock and roll, two metal, or whatever.
No, it's good, man. It's good we do it this way. You know,
I didn't know what you were picking. I'm like, mother God.
Well, we got, you know, we can
if
still
there's certain ones you pick. Yeah. If there's certain ones you're gonna pick, I was gonna be like, nah, I'm not watching that again.
Oh, okay.
I'll read the Wikipedia and we'll talk about it.
Oh shit.
But I don't.
Yeah.
I don't think the list you sent me. I don't think any of those were ones that I would say that to. So.
Well,
I think we're in the clear.
Yeah, because I sent you some. I know I sent
you
some.
Sent me,
like,
I can tell you if you want me to.
No, I found them. I found them. Shock 'em Dead?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one,
so I don't know. And I haven't seen Heavy Metal Massacre, so.
Okay, then. We're good. We're fucking.
We're good.
As we say in New Mexico, we're cherry chingon. Okay, so. So, there you have it, guys. Go check these two movies out. Actually, this movie got released by Synapse released this one, I believe?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Long time ago.
It's been out for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, and their soundtrack got released in 2006. And this movie, like I said, $100,000 budget, shot in 7 days. It can be done, folks. It can be done.
Yeah, it can.
So if you ever want to go ahead and do that, you know.
If you want to go ahead and give me $100,000, I'll make the sequel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, give me $100,000. So I think hopefully this summer, if the stars align and I got my partners in, we're going to be doing a short film, Mr. Xander Cain.
And
we're going to send you a copy. So I'll let you review it and then rip me a new album.
Oh, I'm gonna rip that shit apart.
Yeah, there you go, man. All right, guys, that's it for the show tonight. It was a late one, so we're cutting it short. I'm tired too. I have to go to sleep.
It's all
good. Damn it. Yes, I have to sleep and come.
We
did it, my friend. We did it, and we will be back next month with the all new episode. And I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as we did. And thank you for everybody that tuned in. Don't forget to tune into Android Vision this Saturday, 8 p.m. in the East, 6 p.m. local, 5 in the West, via the intestinalfortitude.com. And you can watch me and my co-host, Vanessa Alexandra, talk shit about horror and watch horror movies and watch really weird PSAs. So it ought to be fun.
Dude, I have a great syphilis PSA to send you from like 1954.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Send it on
it's
over.
Great. I'll find it. Yeah.
We did watch one called Boys Beware, which was so I watched that a long time ago. We didn't watch it on this one, but Boys Beware is so bad. Like, it's not bad, like, but it's just, it's so homophobic, dude. It's not even funny. And I'm just like, yeah. What the fuck?
There's also a really great one about tripping acid that was made in the 60s that is fucking hilarious to watch.
Is it the hot dog one?
I don't think so.
See, because I think we might have covered that on this on a Midsummer Android Vision. Is it the lady that ate acid and she's like, you could see it. You can see the colors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to cover that one. So that one's going to be fucking great too, man. So I can't wait. So, but anyways, guys, tune into that. You guys know where to find us. And you could always follow us on Twitter at, was it Cemetery Gate 666 or 66?
66.
Yes. There you go. And, there you have it, man. We will talk to you next month.
Yep. We're out of here.
All right. All right. Good night. Go to bed, Xander Kane. Get a good night's sleep.
I'm out. Peace. You too.
Good night.
Later.
Bye.
All you horror hounds, listen up. You can follow Xander Kane at Xander_Kane on Twitter or on Instagram. You can also follow Android Virus at Android Virus on Instagram or Twitter. You have been listening to the Cemetery Gates podcast. See you on the dark side.